People are making babies to this show. Musty basement.
All right.
It's the Can Man Show.
Welcome to the Can Man Show. Geeky, nerdy fun with four guys I know. Chad, Kev, and Butters, Jamie, and Tim. I just can't wait for the show to begin. Welcome to the Can Man Show. 50 episodes down and more to go. I just can't wait for the show to begin. I have so much fun listening. Nerdgasm. The Can Man Show is a coming right at you. Geeky, nerdy fun with a guest interview. Come here to get news or chat with Butters and Stalker or get your weekly fill of that Luke Skywalker. They're a lovable, huggable group of guys. The ladies be melting when we be walking by. Discussing the movies, the updates on sci-fi. They're strong and handsome and sometimes shy, but always fly. They're sometimes shy, the Can Man Guy.
Yep, that's me. I am the Can Man Guy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Can Man Show. I am Chad, the Can Man Canfield. Joining me tonight, as always, is my best friend in the whole wide world, Kevin Kappas. How you doing, Kevin?
Pretty good, Chad.
Good. Also joining me, Timmy Arnold.
Hey, what's up?
You look cleanly shaven since last
I
saw you.
Yeah, well, it was because I did the Variety Telethon and didn't want to look all scraggly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did do the Variety Telethon, didn't you?
Scare the children.
And back again, Corey Jordan.
Cock and balls.
And joining us for the first time, we are the voices inside his head, Dennis Green.
That's right. They still do the Variety Telethon?
They do, yeah.
They do.
Apparently it airs next month. I had never heard of it because I'm not from here.
They pre-record it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, my mother-in-law does stuff for Safe Kids and Mercy Medical Center, and they help organize the talent and stuff for the show. So you might see a few faces on there you'd recognize locally.
They organize talent. And then they asked me, and I was like, sure, I guess I could do that too.
They actually asked you first. They had me, they said, hey, can you ask Tim if he would do it? And I said, sure, I'll ask Tim. Well, how about I just give you his number? There you go. So they wanted me to hit you up, Eddie up, and Janelle and Jane and Gerard and all those guys. So I think the other folks had other commitments and couldn't do it.
But it sounded like they had a good turnout. So
good.
So,
and did you guys?
What did you do for the? Did you juggle?
No. I played guitar, sang a song.
Yep.
We'll see how it actually turned out. It was a little bit painful trying to do the taping, but that was all me. It had nothing to do with anyone other than myself. My skills, I left them at home.
Oh my goodness!
It was on a Saturday morning, apparently.
So oh, Timmy,
I wasn't awake.
That's
tough
okay.
To make music on a Saturday morning.
It was difficult. I tried and I did. It just wasn't smooth.
All right,
it's
I
like
respect
giving
that.
Birth to an elephant, or what I would imagine that would be like.
When we close the show tonight, though, I'm playing one of your songs that wasn't on your CD for you.
Oh, okay.
I like that song. I thought, you know, it'd be a good Valentine's-y song.
Oh.
You know, a little love, what you wouldn't
do. Where'd you pull that out of?
I don't know, one of those things you gave me.
Oh, a long time ago, I guess. Yeah.
So, I like that song. And
nice home recording and done in my basement.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's a little rough, but I think it sounds...
a little rough?
Compared to your stuff in a real studio, yeah. I got to say, I really enjoy the song, and it's appropriate for Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day coming up.
Yes, it is, and Zeta's fourth birthday.
And so. Will's birthday is his fifth birthday. Will be 2 days after Valentine's Day.
It's so awesome.
My birthday's in October.
Thanks, Corey.
July.
Well, just had a birthday last month.
But you know, it wouldn't be. I guess it would be today. But today actually is Butters' birthday. That's why he's not here today.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Butters! Yay! That good, huh?
Yeah, I heard he got a PlayStation 3.
Oh, he did?
Not an Xbox 360.
He was hoping for an Xbox 360, but got a PlayStation 3.
Yep. Oh, who doesn't want an Xbox 360?
want to get a
Blu-ray
player.
Well, I don't anymore now that I have one.
See, it makes it easier not to want one.
Well, I guess I wouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth on that one.
I could be happy with the PS3, I think.
So, Dennis, you brought the beer today.
I did.
Tell us a little bit about this. Where'd you find it?
I found it at the Hy-Vee on the southwest side.
Awesome.
And I actually went into the store looking for Moose Drool.
Moose Drool.
Because that seemed like an appropriate thing to bring yes. tonight. But struck out on the Moose Drool, but they happen to have Monty Python's Holy Ale.
Yep.
And that's
it's
more
very
appropriate.
Good.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, I would classify it as very good.
It's actually very good.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what it reminds me of.
Beer?
Other than that.
Just a hint of burning witches.
No, I mean a similar ale. It kind of reminds me of Amberbach a little bit. Just the flavor.
Mm. Yeah, not nearly as dark. Chocolatey.
I mean, yeah.
No. But a little bit.
It's not as bitter as a lot of ales.
No. Yeah.
That you get.
It's very sweet. Like you, Dennis. Like you. And it says it's tempered over burning witches. So that means
that's that flavor.
That means it's good.
Mm.
So
now you only need like spam.
I wonder if
you could
if
have
the
a
bottles
meal
float.
With your beer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Holy ale.
I need to get some spam now. So, spam, 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 and holy ale. There we go. Before we go too much further into the show, yes, Valentine's Day is coming up, and I do want to mention my buddy Jacob owns the store Balloons Etc. over on Center Point Road back behind Co College. And if you mentioned you heard it on the Can Man Show, place your order now for your Valentine and get 15% off of your order. We're the only place you can get a discount like that.
Ooh,
so,
yeah.
You know.
Exclusive, right here, folks.
Yep, that's right. That's right. So tell them the Can Man sent you, and Jacob will hook you up with 15% off of your balloon bouquet. And if you go to his website, there's going to be a link in the show notes. He has some really awesome balloon bouquets that he's done. So don't mean to throw a little commercial in here because he's not paying me to do this. He really does put out a good product.
He puts out,
also if you're an amateur magician, not that it has anything to do with Valentine's Day, and I don't know if you get a discount on that, he has the area's best selection of magic tricks. So if you're into magic, not Magic the Gathering, but magic tricks, clowning, he sells clown props.
And not clowning around,
actual clowning.
Actual clowning.
Serious clowning.
Serious clowning. Oh, yeah, serious clowning.
He is... also,
don't laugh, it's real.
His other name is Sparkles the Clown, so and his wife Sprinkles. They also do clowning, but their magic selection is phenomenal. So make sure.
My son is a magician, so
there you go.
That's a great, up to now his only sources have been on the internet, so that's a great tip. Thank you.
Yep, there you go. Check it out. He has got an awesome selection.
It's amazing what you can find locally. Like, hey, we've got a great magic store in Cedar Rapids.
Who knew?
What?
Yeah, his store says Balloons Etc. I wish it'd say balloons and magic, really.
Magic is the et cetera.
I guess. So, Jacob, hopefully he's... You know what the scary thing is for him is he was affected by the flood and is starting to build his business back. And since the flood, he's been broken into twice.
Oh.
And they've stolen a bunch of his merchandise and his money.
He's just getting an image of people running out of the store
with balloons.
Yeah, I know. But,
I know.
But,
big
toppy
shoes, multicolored wigs.
Well, what I'm saying is, he really could use the business.
Yep.
And on top of it, you get a 15% discount. So there you go. That and Valentine's Day is falling on a Sunday this year.
Yay.
So not a lot of deliveries being made as far as like to businesses that happen normally. So that's really cutting into his business a little bit too. So usually this is the one holiday where he makes his money for the year.
Those damn Sundays.
So, yeah, he needs the orders. So send him your way. Send your order his way.
Or, my order? His way?
That's right.
Okay.
So,
I thought it was
no, your way.
My way.
Yeah, he would say
my
your way.
Way.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, okay. So
clowning for Valentine's Day.
No, not necessarily clowning.
Unless
I'm just saying
life likes that sort of thing.
No, people, if he does not wear his clown outfit,
a clown.
For
get
my
a clown.
Friends that are deathly afraid of clowns, he does not run around in his clown outfit. There's only a couple pictures of clowns in the store. So if you go in, you know the best part about it? If you call the number on his website and place an order, you don't have to deal with a clown at all. You don't have to see a clown.
So I can get my balloons in a plain brown bag instead of a clown.
Right, so no one
that's
knows.
Right. That's right. Yeah, he will not be in his clown makeup.
Totally anonymous, folks.
Yeah, so don't worry about
clown will be
clown.
Incognito.
Yeah, he will be dressed as a human.
I don't know what's scarier.
out there clowns or undercover clowns?
Undercover closet clowns?
You just don't know. Anyone here could be a clown, man.
You never know. Look around the room right now. Any one of us could be a clown.
One out of every five guys. Is a clown. That's right. So count up.
Check his shoes. Check his shoes. Or check his nose.
I get slippers.
I don't got shoes.
All right. Don't look at my feet.
All right. I won't.
Squeak.
Squeak, squeak. So, Kevin, you need a new water heater, possibly?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Why?
Amongst other things. Oh, I got nice little white chunks flowing through my hot water out of my
faucet. Is it just coming apart?
Yeah, I think it's coming apart. So, I don't know if I'm... the water heater's old. I guess I could try and get, like, the inside parts replaced, but... I don't know.
I think it might actually be cheaper to get a new water heater.
Maybe get one of those tankless water heaters.
Yeah, the tankless ones.
That's a neat idea.
I just had Ben Franklin Plumbing trying to sell me a tankless water heater.
Okay, hang on. This is the second week in a row we've mentioned Ben Franklin.
When they came over to fix my kitchen faucet, they're trying to sell me one.
I just had major surgery done to my house by the plumbers. That's why I wasn't here last week.
So you had cardiovascular surgery
on your house?
On my house. It was like right on the roof. It was really cold.
My wife was mentioning you had a hell of a week with plumbing.
Well, let's see. There was a jackhammer involved and a deep hole in my basement floor. Lots of concrete knocked out. I had a sewer line collapse underneath my house.
Oh.
Which required a jackhammer and a 2-foot by 4-foot hole.
And some lotion on its skin.
Yeah, so it was terrible. And then they had to replace about an 18-inch section of cast iron pipe. And my homeowner's insurance got involved, and they were able to cover some of the damage and stuff like that.
So they do a ditchless trench or something like that, or did they?
What they did is they came down, and they put the snake in there with some kind of crazy locator on it. And then when they figured out it was in the vicinity of my bathroom floor in my basement, they got out the jackhammer and just started knocking... I will send some pictures over. We can get pictures of this deep hole underneath my house. The water department was there. It was terrible. I had the plumbers there. I had the city water department there. I had the building inspectors there. When they went to cut out the pipe, they hit a water main.
Oh!
There was a 6-foot fountain of water coming out of my basement floor, which they threw a tarp over, called the city to turn off the water. They couldn't turn off the water.
Did they bust the valve outside?
No, they couldn't get it turned. It was all
frozen.
It was all goofy. So then they had to freeze the pipes with nitrogen so that they could actually install a shutoff valve so that they could do the work. And then the building inspector didn't like my sump pump set up, and he told the plumber to fix it, and the plumber said, I don't know anything about it. It was a mess.
Why would a plumber know how to fix a sump pump?
Well,
yeah.
You know, maybe this will prevent the water from backing up in your basement again.
Maybe. I don't know.
If the building inspector came in and fixed that, so that's crazy.
Yeah, but it was a very expensive plumbing
issue.
It's a
bad year for plumbing in general everywhere.
Yes.
Whether it be main breaks in the front of my house.
It's so cold out, and it's continuing and persistent.
Well,
it's
my house,
winter.
Yeah, my house is about 50 years old. This year, it's about 50 years old, and I guess the sewer lines just are getting too old. I saw what they look like with a camera inside of them, and they're pretty disgusting. And then we saw the break and thought, that can't be good.
I'd be willing to bet that they were disgusting after the first week of use.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, right now is a cool time to get a water heater, though. I mean, you're not stuck to one of those big tanks in your house now. You can get one of those tankless suckers that just hang on the wall.
Those are pretty pricey, though.
They are, but, you know, they can also get, like, a $1,500 rebate from the electric company.
Directly from Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah, Barack Obama. He'll write you a check, $1,500.
He will come to your house and install it for you.
And then he'll give you money and say thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, $1,500 rebate.
Offer you some cock.
Yeah.
Would you like some cock?
Would that be the silicone cock?
Yes, that's what he's talking about.
That's where we're going with that.
So, Dennis, you'd mentioned on Facebook you had some ground rules.
I have some ground rules.
Some ground rules. So I thought now would be a good time before we get too dirty.
That's right.
Since we already broke them.
I do have some ground rules. that I really felt I needed to abide by in order to make an appearance on the show tonight. So first rule is I don't want to see Butter's penis.
Okay, you don't have to worry about seeing that.
He's okay, nobody wants to see
that. Thank
God
it's his birthday.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, he's running around in his birthday suit. Hopefully he won't knock on our door.
One way or another.
He wouldn't make it to the door.
No.
I'm not going to eat any candy made from carp.
No.
No carp candy?
Under no circumstances.
Oh, man.
And on a similar note, holy ale, yes. Clamato, no.
Crap.
I'm going home.
And I hope, I dearly hope over the next hour or so to establish enough geek cred to justify being here tonight.
Cool.
In every area except for one. Video games. Sorry.
There you go. You can't.
So if you start talking video games, I'm just going to doze off in the corner.
Does your son play?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, some.
You occasionally wander into the room and see it.
My older son loves World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Of course, and then I regale him of stories of playing
D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, as I say, back in the day,
I used to put a pencil to paper, and
there was this guy.
It is how it is done.
Did you guys read? Was it Zitz in the paper on Sunday the comic?
No.
They were playing chess. But they were
That wasn't Zitz. It was Foxtrot.
Foxtrot. So they were rolling die as they were playing chess, and it says my pawn kills your guy. But did you roll a 20? Or it was just classic D&D rules put to chess. And they said, isn't chess geeky enough as it is? I thought that was
without
awesome.
Adding 20 sides.
I was gonna cut it out and bring it to you, Corey.
That puts an interesting twist on chess. I like it.
I don't think we've ever mentioned this, but you've actually are creating or have been working on for the last
2 decades.
A computer that will play chess?
No.
I'm sorry to say it's already been done.
No, a role-playing game.
Yep. Tabletop, pen and paper, role-playing game, which we've taken all the games out there that have their areas of suck and just eliminated all the suck. So,
But
it's also going to be great after Armageddon when we have no electricity, no video games, no Xbox.
Oh yeah,
we're left with your perfect game.
Yeah, plus
as we crabble to survive in a world with no electricity, but we'll be able to play a role.
We'll base our whole society on it.
It's not going to all be hunting and gathering. We're good. Occasionally, we'll have to play.
Yeah, we will have to play. Well, do I kill the deer? I don't know. Roll.
See what happens.
Roll
the D10. Oh, we ran away.
What'd you roll?
Roll the D10.
1. I fumbled the deer.
Oh, man.
Only certain people are going to get that.
Yeah, I know. It's a gazebo.
Yeah. So what's your game called?
Bug Hunt, which is also my email address.
Bug Hunt?
Yeah.
Bug Hunt.
There was a...
Sounds simple.
Yep.
There was a book.
Simple.
I think one of the first books written by Robert Asprin. Who does the Myth Adventure series?
I love Robert Asprin.
Called Bug Hunt.
Yeah,
is that what you based it
on?
No.
Okay. It's based very loosely on the universe that Aliens the movie would have been.
Okay.
Had it been just slightly cooler.
That kind of bug. Cool.
Oh yeah, we're having to create everything, including the game system, because we're not going to be beholden to anyone.
Nice.
There you go. So when do you anticipate?
We're hoping to hit Gen Con this year. We're almost to a point now where we're not publishable yet. That'll be another little bit. But we're almost to a point now where we could actually have guest tables running at a convention like that.
Cool.
So
will you do like the Iowa Science Fiction Con? Because
that after or before August?
It's when is it?
Isn't that during the summer?
What kind of geek are you? You don't know the answer.
We are shooting for August for a ready rollout.
You have to be a big geek to go to ICON. I mean, and I'm talking like old school.
It just has a cool name,
geek.
ICON.
Yeah.
I want to go.
I think there's a movie company named that.
Yeah, there is. ICON Pictures or something like that, production company.
Yeah.
But you have to be a big geek. You remember Darla Cooper?
Nope.
She works the table there. Some people from the comic shop will know who Darla is, and she is... Like the comic book she'd read every week was EverQuest, and she's this lady that walks in with the big glasses and very stern when you look at her, and then you get her talking about
like
EverQuest.
A naughty librarian?
No, like an old
Sarah
lady
Palin?
That has no friends. That
like Betty White.
I was thinking the little costume designer on The Incredibles.
Kind of like Edna, but
Edna,
not quite.
Yeah.
No, not quite. A little less friendly. She's
a little less friendly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. She. Yeah.
And I want to know her why.
Because she's funny to know. I like her. She's a good gal.
She's funny to know.
Yeah. She. We had some interesting conversations about ElfQuest. I never read the book, but you know, I know it existed. There was this girl living around the corner from me who used to read it religiously.
This girl from around the way.
Around the way. Yeah. She was around the way girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind I like. But anyway, I am dreading this next week or so because there will be no good TV on. It's straight up Olympics. I mean, I don't enjoy
everybody else. Everybody else will be in reruns because they don't want to compete with the Olympics.
Yeah, which is stupid. There's a large percentage of people that...
I got to say, though, I love the sculling and the luge because I'm constantly hoping someone's going to die on national TV. Have you seen how fast those things go?
Goes pretty fast.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Winter Olympics.
I don't know. I guess I watched really the Winter X Games. And... But I can't wait till
the United States plays Russia in hockey. That's going to be great. The Soviet Union's going down this year.
They went down like 2 decades
1980.
ago.
1980. There's that movie that was.
Yeah, you can watch that movie. You can watch that movie anytime.
Yeah,
what? Yeah.
It was a hell of a game.
What?
I gotta say that's one of my favorite movies that that he did. The coach,
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, that was the first character that he played in.
Even more than Overboard.
That was the first character he played that I didn't feel like I was watching the same character.
What a great movie!
Yeah,
it really kind of was.
I love that movie.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Overboard, but yeah, Big Love. Yeah, that also.
But that's pretty
good
too. Yeah, Goldie Hawn, she's in that one, right?
One of them.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kurt Russell, have you guys talked about the new Tron movie at all?
A little bit.
They released a couple of pictures.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures.
Is it Kurt Russell or Jeff Bridges? I thought it was Jeff Bridges.
Is it Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Bridges.
I always get those two confused.
Yeah, me too.
Well, they're almost exactly the same.
They are the same person.
Yeah. You never see them in the same room at the same time. What's the other guy? The guy that was in Gamer.
Oh,
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler. I think those two are the same guy.
Who?
Gerard Butler and Clive Owen. They look very similar to me. What do I know?
You know, I think I saw them. Didn't they have a fist fight against each other? Or was that just Fight Club?
No, it might have been Fight Club. That was, yeah. But the first rule of Fight Club is let's not talk about it.
Oh, okay.
I've been watching Big Bang Theory, and I loved last week's episode. It was fantastic.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. That's all I got to say about it. Been watching any good shows lately?
No.
There was a show on CBS last night. It's called the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, that was on.
Was it the
way to go, like, Saints?
The highest rated TV show in the history of time.
Last night?
Yep.
Really?
They finally beat the MASH conclusion.
Wow.
Took that long to beat the MASH conclusion.
Well, you had to have two powerhouse teams.
And like, you got to figure more TVs now. It's like Avatar, the biggest grossing movie in history. Well,
it's like, well, not in terms of tickets sold.
Duh.
No, they're just
because tickets are $10 now.
Right.
Of course it is.
I don't know. I did enjoy the commercials last night. I mean, the game was pretty good too.
Game was good. It was a very entertaining game.
It was a good game. I honestly thought that the Colts were just going to run away with it. And
I didn't think they were going to run away with it, but I was pretty sure that they were going to win. I was thinking it would be around about a touchdown difference, but going the other way.
Yeah, the odds makers had no idea.
I'm the Saints. They you know, were down by 10. And then there was that, what do they call it, onside kick?
Yeah, at the beginning of the second half.
That was amazing.
That was pretty amazing. Start off the second half with the onside kick.
I've never seen that.
I got to say, that was so stupid.
Yeah.
It was a terrible idea.
Could have went horribly.
You know what? Really, they had been practicing it all week long, and Sean Payton had said that he was either going to do it in the second or third quarter. Yeah. He had told the team that before the game, so they had been practicing it. And then... the kicker, was Garrett Hartley, was apparently scared to death all game long going into that he was going to have to do this kick and not screw it up.
Yep.
But if it had not gone off that one guy's helmet, then
he
it would have been totally
perfect
different.
Perfect patsy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy actually touched it with his hands.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he hit it with his head.
It went
through his hands to his face and then
it
that
was
way.
Hank Baskett. Who was a reserve reserve wide receiver for the Colts. He used to play for the
No
the
hands.
I was enjoying the names of the team, the players and the teams, like Saturday.
Jeff Saturday.
Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
Center.
There was the gay guy.
Gay? I'm pretty sure he's...
Oh, William Gay. Used to play for University of Louisville.
Christine and I were talking about the different names.
Garcon?
Garcon, the Haitian.
And then there was that guy from Iowa on the Colts.
Dallas Clark?
Yeah, Dallas Clark. He did pretty good.
He had some good plays.
He always does. He's a great...
I think he had the most yardage of everyone.
He probably did
for that game.
For receiving yards, I bet he probably did. Yeah, but it was just the Saints showed up. They completely shut down Peyton Manning for a long time.
Oh, they
all
the
way up until the last minute of the first half.
They just wanted it so much more.
I think Indianapolis had 6 yards in the entire second quarter.
Three downs in the second quarter.
And the Saints just dominated it. So. Yeah.
I bet you didn't know this was going to turn into football talk. I bet you're sorry you brought this up.
No, actually, I'm not, because I enjoyed the game. I've been learning a little bit about football.
My single favorite moment of the game was when Betty White got tackled.
That was awesome.
What really sucked is somebody had called me, so I was on the phone trying to watch a commercial and trying to listen.
I was on the phone the same
happened?
Time, too.
What happened to Betty White? Why is she on the ground?
But wait, there was more. It wasn't just Betty White.
It was
Abe Vigoda. And I was more surprised to see him still alive.
That's what everyone
in that
said.
Commercial.
Was it a Snickers
my mom's
commercial,
like,
Zoda was?
Yeah. What? Did I say something to make you go... step back a little bit, and I said, "No, Mom, I just saw Abe Vigoda on TV. He's still alive." Yeah. What?
He's only 80. Looks like he's 100, but he was born in 1921. Well, I looked this up on IMDb.
Barney Miller, he looked like he was 70.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so when he was on Barney Miller, he may have been 45.
Yeah, yeah. He did not age well. I think he may have grown up in Chernobyl. it's hard to say, but yeah, he hasn't aged well.
Wow. Wow, he looked old on The Godfather.
Yep.
You know that. Wow.
But everybody at work could not believe that he was still alive.
Yeah,
they thought it was a computer animation when
Barney Miller started.
It was interesting to see the Doritos commercial with the guy in the coffin.
That was funny
because a couple of months ago, a guy I went to college with, who's living in Chicago, was part of a commercial shoot, and it was not that one specifically, but it was a Doritos commercial with a guy in a coffin. It was outdoor at a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen all the pictures on Facebook and stuff like that. So I had like a real weird deja vu moment when I was watching it last night. Like, where have I seen this before?
So that one air that your friend was
I
in?
I didn't see that one, but it the may other, have aired when I wasn't paying attention or something.
I got to say, how cool is it to see a Doritos throwing star?
That was
it's stuck in the guy's neck.
That was awesome.
Then the samurai outfit.
or the dog putting the shock collar.
Oh, the shock collar one.
Was good.
That was kind of funny.
That was funny. I think my favorite one though was probably the careers, the one,
beaver.
The naked guys.
Oh,
everybody's wearing pants.
There were two pants commercials in a row.
In a row.
That was a little disturbing.
It was really strange because after the first one, you're like, that was a whole lot of.
Well, there were a bunch of women and guys in that, and I was like, it couldn't have been less sexy.
No, it was awesome.
It was
that was awesome.
Well, it was good, except
the one
it was
guy.
Casual Friday has gone too far.
Right. But
where it's like, I don't wear pants, and I was just like, what is going on?
What is happening?
The other no pants commercial was for Dockers.
You could get a free pair of pants,
but they screwed up. Their website couldn't handle the traffic. I went 5 minutes later, and the website was still down. Amazingly down. I mean, you went back and it was just down. And then for the CBS, Barney Stinson from
Simpson from How I Met Your Mother.
I mentioned there was holding up a sign with a toll free number.
Yep.
Couldn't get through to that either. So I said, "Ladies, call me." I called.
The Denny's commercial is pretty good.
The chickens.
My daughter loved that.
The first one was all like, "What the hell?" And then they did the second one with the President Chicken, and I was like, this, "Where do we live?"
Well, we don't have Denny's here anymore. They all closed down, and they turn into Chinese buffet places that really are kind of scary.
Yeah,
but.
No Denny's anywhere, right?
No, I can't Cedar Rapids.
It always sucks when you
I think the closest
when you
one
have
the
commercials for restaurants that you don't have.
Yeah.
It was like when I was in New Jersey, where I lived in New Jersey, we had no Sonic restaurants anywhere within probably a 50-mile radius. They just didn't have them there. But
you'd get the national
there were always Sonic.
Sonic
commercials on, and it was like, oh, man. that'd be awesome. But we just didn't have one anywhere close.
That was the same way with the Cedar Rapids for a while, until we got the Sonic there.
Well, yeah. I think they blanket the market ahead of time, so you start thinking about, okay, when they get that, you're going to be able to go.
Seems like a really expensive marketing campaign to drop it two years prior to opening.
They're a big chain, okay? And if they buy in our market, it's going to overlap with a market that does have a Sonic in it.
Yeah, so, what they do is they make a national buy.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
Yeah. Right.
And they don't, you know, and
if it airs
in flyover country, big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, if we start seeing Waffle House commercials, I'm moving.
Oh dude, no. I want Waffle House for Canada.
Every time I go home to Kentucky, that's one of every visit I have to do is hit Waffle House.
Well,
Texas bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich with mayonnaise on it, hash browns smothered, covered, and diced, and some sweet tea. I had to say about that.
Hang on.
Oh, I know.
He is still alive.
In triple bypass special.
No, there you go.
Comes with a defibrillator.
that's the kids' meal. Comes with a defibrillator.
Refill my iced tea and bring me an AED.
And with a side of lecithin, please.
It's been about 15 years since we were in Phoenix last. But they have Waffle Houses there too. Mm-hmm. It's all over the southeast. So we were there in Phoenix, and they had all-you-can-eat double cheeseburgers for $5.25. Dude, they went broke. They would have gone out of business. We were there. We went, and I think I probably had five double cheeseburgers.
That wasn't just a deal they were offering. They were trying to kill you.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was a plot.
But the thing is they were thick and good. And
Waffle House is good. It's definitely not healthy.
No. When I was in the Army, we would go to breakfast in Georgia a lot at the Waffle House, and just anytime I get down there to see, like my brother Ted lives in a suburb of Atlanta, we just got to make sure we hit a Waffle House at least once.
Yeah,
I don't care for like stuff in my eggs, the sliced, diced, covered in chunked, or whatever they do.
Hash browns, so, yeah.
Is the bread like waffles instead of like the actual?
No, they have waffles there. Right.
And waffle fries and that kind of stuff. But
if you go to a Waffle House and order waffles, people point and laugh at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always wanted to hit a waffle and chicken place.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
Oh, like, what's it?
I saw those in Chicago or something. What is
it? Something chicken and waffles in L.A. That's a big thing.
Chicken and waffles. I don't quite get chicken for breakfast, seriously.
I love chicken.
You know, a chicken omelet is just wrong.
Chicken biscuits.
Tastes awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Hardee's or McDonald's was trying to get you to buy chicken biscuits in the morning for breakfast.
Yeah, they still.
Well, they still offer it in both of them.
Well, they were talking about though how it's not unnatural because it just seems unnatural to have chicken sandwich for breakfast. Yeah, I don't know.
It's good.
It's good. Mm. I'll take your word for it.
I finally got to.
If you're gonna eat the children of chickens, you might as well
Hamburger
eat the parents
Mary's
as well.
Too.
Yep.
What's that?
Finally got to Hamburger Mary's.
What'd you think?
That place is awesome.
It's
really, really good. It's a great atmosphere. It's a fun place to go.
It was packed. We went there Saturday night, and even right down to getting your check in this big
high heel shoe.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You look around, you've got Barbara Streisand records on the wall. But
Lady Gaga kept on playing like over and over and over.
That's a little weird.
So hearing Poker Face blaring as I'm trying to eat a hamburger, I was kind of kind of.
The first
food
time
is really, really good.
The first time we went to Hamburger Mary's, we went early for dinner. We had my then 12-year-old with us, and we get there, and place is about half full, and they say, "Well, I don't think we can seat you for a half hour." Really? What are all these empty tables? Well, those are reserved for later, for the drag show. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to stay for the drag show? And I look over at my 12-year-old son, look back over at the host and say, you know, no. Oh, then I can seat you right now.
Yeah. Cool.
There you go, yeah.
But the funniest thing is looking at, like, the events. Like, Monday is this.
Thursday is
karaoke.
Kids
night. And then
karaoke and
then
kids
you got
night.
Wii night, and then you got Guitar Hero night, and then drag shows.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thursday is every Thursday is Marioki, which is a big event for a lot of the Theater Cedar Rapids folks. A lot of people head over there and do that. It was a big thing for the Hair cast. We spent every week during the entire run of that show. We were there. But they also, they do, I think it's Mondays, they do like charity bingo night.
Every week they do
whatever the designated charity or designated organization. Yeah. So, and people show up and they play bingo and then they, the proceeds go to whatever the charity or organization happens to be.
My parents were asking what I did, you know, while they took Katie for like the weekend. So, I was trying to explain to them where we had went, and I just got tired of trying to explain it any further.
Yeah.
They do what?
They do what there?
Your checks in what?
It's like, I don't get it.
They don't, small town parents.
No.
The fishnets?
No.
Who was wearing fishnets?
Yeah.
That's a man? What? Yes, Dad, an Adam's apple. Apple, I'm sorry. Yeah. But
it's a I think probably if I have a bar in Cedar Rapids, I would probably say it would be Hamburger Mary's. Probably I'd drink more beers there than any other bar in town.
Place is awesome, and it's like 5 minutes away from me, so I can just.
Well, what's unfortunate about it is that its location. A lot of people just don't know it's there because there's no sign on First Avenue.
And the building, when you do see it, if you don't know what it is, I don't know if you're really going to know it's a bar.
All the way up until last year, for the first 3 years or whatever, 2.5 years that I was in Cedar Rapids, I had never heard of it, never seen it, didn't know anything about
it. And you drive past it every day to work, don't you, pretty much? Or do you
I go a different way, but still, I mean, you can be in the drive-thru at Taco John's and not know that Hamburger Mary's is right behind you. So
yeah, you can drive right past it, and it's just a building out in nowhere. It could be an empty building for all you know.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun, though.
Except there's a crap load of cars everywhere, so. Yeah.
But, good place, good food.
Yeah. And then my wife was asking me, "Well, what do you do with the shoe?" I go, "Well, you got to wear it up to the." You got to wear it up to the.
And you have to hop.
Yeah.
And she did, didn't she? She hopped on one leg.
That's a pretty big shoe.
Yeah. No. Crazy. Well, we got a little audience today. Zoe's down here watching us.
She's dancing,
entertaining, doing a little twisting around. Of course, you can't see her if you're watching the live feed, which is back for those of you who watch. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Lori. Hi, deer. I think that's about all the
viewers.
We have
deer watching?
Yeah. Deer. Reindeer. My deer. My wife. Who I love very much. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Is that
your game size?
Yeah. What up?
Yep.
I love you, boo.
Yeah, she's my boo. Yep. And yep, she's my boo.
Is that is that your Valentine's Day shout out there?
Word up. I love you,
honey.
Is
that what we're doing here?
Happy Valentine's Day. So
you still got to get her a present.
Yep. Yeah, this doesn't count totally.
I've already made my call to Jacob.
Gas station flower.
So
balloon animals all night. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Wow.
So,
that was bizarre.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where I was going with that. But hey.
They got something for that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
WD-40 will take care of that squeak.
A cream or something. Speaking of creams, we were watching commercials, and we saw this commercial for...
You are the king of the Segway.
He is.
I was like,
we need to get him one of those Segway vehicles so he can drive around
the
building.
So here we go. No, I was watching...
I want to see if there's actually a tie-in or if he's just like,
speaking of creams, I was watching this commercial, and we were watching daytime television. On comes a commercial for KY Intense.
There we go. Okay. Good segue.
Okay. And
ouch.
So apparently it's supposed to give a woman a great big O. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something to give her for Valentine's Day, apparently. And so it
takes more than just a cream.
Or a Thursday.
Well, it apparently helps create this orgasm that they deserve, right? So we were looking, you know, just curious how much a bottle of this... stuff
a bottle
costs.
Of O is
12,
it?
A bottle of $12?
No, $30.
30, yeah. Ah!
For a little itty bitty, I don't know, fingernail Thimble? Polish size.
But in fairness, if it works,
it's worth 30.
It would be worth
bucks,
it to her. I'm guaranteed.
Yes,
a little dabble, do you?
Yeah. I guess so. $30 at Target. It's right over there by the.
So the
pharmacy.
O she deserves. Now I have to ask the question: what if she really doesn't deserve it?
In that case, it'll give her a small crappy one.
Is there a generic one?
I haven't seen a generic.
I know.
The bottle
knows. An over-the-counter version.
The commercial,
I gotta
say, the commercial for it is awesome. It is awesome.
Which one is that? Is that
the guy and the girl in the bedroom, and he goes out of the room, and she pulls out this bottle, and she starts talking about it, how it's going to give you a great big,
and then
there's fireworks.
And then they show them laying there or whatever.
Yeah, and she's all sweaty, and he's like, is that it?
What happened?
No. It was pretty good commercial. I don't know.
It's called, I don't know. $30 is pretty steep.
No, it's called KY Intense.
Oh. Okay.
KY Intense.
I'm intrigued, though.
Yeah, I was intrigued.
Might have to go buy some. I'll let you guys know. No, I won't.
Yeah. Probably something to keep to yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Probably talk.
No, that's a different kind of gel, I think.
Yeah.
That's chocolate flavored, actually, from what I hear.
Is it flavored?
No, not that.
Oh.
Wow.
I guess I'm on a different level.
Totally
here.
Different wavelength. There.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I also hear it's not a lubricant. It's just something else.
Topical anesthetic.
I don't think that's what you're going for.
No, you put it on the spot, and apparently it increases blood flow to that spot on a girl.
Region.
So, anyway.
Not spot. That's a myth.
Yeah whatever. Just Google it. You'll find out. I'm sitting here starting to blush. Yeah,
no, wait,
Google it.
Isn't that another term for... No, never mind.
No.
You get a map?
No, and you don't get an iPad either.
Oh, an iPad.
Damn.
Yeah, unfortunately named iPad.
I had to throw that out there. So do you do any technology stuff? Inigo Montoya?
Yeah.
There's no D in his name, you know that.
I said Inigo.
Okay. Inigo. My name is Inigo Montoya.
You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
All right, we got that out of the way.
Thank goodness for that. Yeah. Thank you for that. I'm a recent convert to Apple. I bought my first Mac just a few months ago. Actually, based on my experience with the iPod Touch, which I found so...
I love my iPod Touch.
It just so elegant. I thought, boy, if the rest of the OS is like this, I am all over it. Yeah. And so that's been a lot of fun.
Cool.
Although I do have Windows and Linux loaded on the same machine.
Oh, okay.
So like I said, trying to build up my geek cred.
I was going to say, that's pretty good right there. Yeah. When you're
do you use
multiple.
Like Boot Camp for that? Or?
No, I use an emulator. I've got Boot Camp on there too, but that lets me load up. That always lets me go into the Windows OS without rebooting the machine.
Mm. Nice.
Because there are a couple of things. My tax program. That was the thing I needed the most for. My tax program doesn't have a Mac version.
Ah.
It's because people that have Macs don't do taxes.
Apparently.
They don't
generate enough income.
Well, Steve Jobs certainly isn't doing his taxes. Bastard. I don't know where that came from.
Okay.
And followed the launch of the iPad pretty closely.
Yeah.
Kind of interested.
Did you
in
watch
that.
The keynote? Any of
I did.
That?
Did I
you?
Did.
So when Steve pulled it out, did he hold it this, like chest high, or did he hold it out over his head? Because Jason Calacanis, who's a big tech guy, says anytime that Steve Jobs holds an item over his head, like the iPod,
that's the big thing.
That's you know it's going to be good, and to buy two of them.
I don't think he did. I think he held it at
chest height.
Yeah, front level. That's what I think. Before he sat down and started playing with it.
Right.
Yeah,
before
he sat down on the comfy couch in the middle of the stage.
How does this work? Started,
yeah.
Well, it seems like you know they put this thing out there. And there's a lot more functionality, a lot more capabilities that are being held back. Like, you know, successive generations are just going to...
The camera.
Right. All of the stuff that it stuff. Doesn't currently have that they got out there for this first release that's kind of, like, intriguing people. And then...
I was really hoping that they would make it a Mac as opposed to an iPod. Because, I mean, it's based on the iPod OS rather than the Mac OS X. So I think that... That to me is disappointing because I would love to use something like that, you know, to sit down and do
as a real computer.
Yeah, as a real computer,
instead of
as
a glorified phone.
Right.
We'll get there.
I don't understand.
We'll get there.
I really think they really failed on that particular respect, because if they had given it more technical capabilities in the beginning, it would have run away.
But you think about apps you can get for the iPad and the iPhone, and a lot of those apps. Do the same kinds of things that you would do with Word. You know, you can do those things.
But you have
apps.
To do them one at a time.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, but you know what? That hasn't hurt. You know, like, you know, the way that the whole there's an app for that. There's an app for that. There's that the way that has kind of rolled out with the iPod. That hasn't really been a problem. Now you would expect that. I think with the iPad, you're going to have a period of adjustment where people get used to having this large iPod Touch. And then they can take that technology and start to.
I just got to say, my phone can do more than one thing at a time.
Right.
Yeah, the first time you're typing away at something,
your phone probably has flash capabilities, doesn't it?
And you need to look at a website.
No.
Then you'll find that it's you'll wonder why it doesn't do more. But I will tell you what I'm I think the unknown market for this is, especially the version one device. I will probably get one for my parents.
Yeah,
it's who live in a rural area, can't get broadband. Yep, they still use dial-up. Of course, can't have wireless in their house. But you know, I think it'd be perfect for them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and a $15 or even the $30 data connection, they would save would save money on what they're paying for dial-up, and they get 10 times the capability.
Yep. Yeah, I guess I could see that. I could see that. And it also, you know, the e-reader, you can use it as, you know, your Kindle or...
Well, and that's the other thing about it is, you know, I just for Christmas I got a Kindle, and I really like the Kindle. I like the, you know, being able to read e-ink and all that other stuff, but... You figure there's already you can read Kindle books on the iPod Touch, and now I have a giant iPod Touch that I could read my Kindle books on. Why do I need my Kindle? Now, true, there are issues with it being backlit and the whole readability of e-ink, but still, my first thought when I saw that was, oh, there goes the Kindle.
Kindle killer.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm sure wasn't the intent at all, but
I disagree. I bet that was definitely one of their plans.
Now, the one thing that pisses me off about books, especially with
they're so long.
No,
and they're heavy.
So many of them.
You got to turn
so many
all
words.
These pages.
I'm sorry. That was maybe the best spontaneous segue Chad has ever given us.
This is on the same topic.
Yep. It was awesome.
A book. Okay. A hardbound book, I'm spending $25. Paperback, if I get it on sale, I'm spending about $7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That costs the publisher money to print.
Mm-hmm.
For materials,
distribution.
For ink, for distribution, paper. I'm paying $7 to $25 for that.
Yeah.
For I will take that. For the actual ebooks, the average price for an ebook is about $12. You're paying for one file that was created one time, that's distributed digitally,
mm-hmm.
that all you're paying for is server space,
yep.
and that file's less than usually, half a meg?
Yeah,
it's very,
very small
file. So they are making a killing because there's so little overhead.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They're overcharging for ebooks.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what my complaint is.
Oh, yeah. So now all we got to do is wait for someone to break the DRM on Kindle books. Oh, wait, it's already happened.
Yeah. Well,
so
it's not
just
necessarily
a matter of
breaking the DRM. It's breaking the price,
yeah.
making people aware that, hello, this is not costing you as much to distribute it digitally. You should pass those savings on to the people.
And Apple is going the other way because they are charging more in their library than Amazon was. And if you followed the Macmillan, and there was another publisher that got into a big tiff with Amazon because they told Amazon that they were going to use the same pricing.
$15 for an ebook.
Yeah, they were going to use the same pricing structure that Apple was giving them.
Yep.
And apparently all the, you'd know, because you have a Kindle.
Amazon.
But, they
Amazon
were all $9.99, right?
All, new books are just hovering under $10. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you do all that price gouging. These companies are going to price gouge. For one, there are people who don't want to screw with it. They see that as a better deal. When a book first comes out, most of the time, you're not going to be able to get it in paperback, so you're not going to be able to get the cheap version. So a bestseller comes out, a brand new release.
So you got
to
want it.
It's going to be $20 or more, depending on the book, or I can get it brand new for $10 on Amazon. That's a deal.
I guess I could
relative
see that.
To...
However, being a smart consumer, I realize that it's only costing them pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
To distribute that digitally. The same thing
pennies
with
on the
movies
100.
And video games.
The same thing with music, to be honest. I mean, you look at, you know, how much, you know, you're charging for downloads on Amazon MP3, or you're charging for music on iTunes, all that stuff. Yeah, we all kind of understand that we're getting screwed when we're paying all that money.
And I'd like to thank you for paying all that money. That's great for guys like me.
Well, there you go.
Because they keep making new music because you people keep paying for it.
Yeah, well, you keep making new music. I mean, you've gone through both production of a CD, and you know what it would cost to print a CD versus digital distribution.
The reason that I distributed mine digitally is because once all your production costs were covered, I could put this thing out there, pay $20 roughly $20 for a year to put it out to all these different digital distribution outlets, as opposed to getting 1,000 CDs made for roughly $1,000, depending on the deal you get. And then you have to go through the process of trying to sell them. You put it out in the cloud somewhere, it's much, much cheaper to do that. The profits are going to be much higher. Now, you know, with my CD, it's not like I made any of my money back.
Really?
Oh, God, no.
Wow.
No. I mean, I did make some money, but I never made any profit. I didn't recoup the production cost for it.
Really? So. That's crazy.
Yeah, but the nice thing is if someone asks you about your music, you can just say, oh, go on to iTunes
or
Amazon or whatever.
And I, you know, the whole process and everything was it was a whole lot of fun. It was really cool. It was nice to look at it and go, that's mine. Like, hey, look at this. Yeah. Go into Best Buy and bring it up on Napster. That whole thing is pretty neat. But just in general, you know, as a consumer, you figure somebody's making a whole lot of money on this. And in general, it's getting better, but in general, it's not the artists. Although it is better on the digital side, digital distribution, artists are making more money per download than what they would have where they're making, you know, 4 cents off of every CD sold or something like that.
So, well, for the artists, the money's in the tour. That's where they make their money when they play live.
That's starting to change. Well, I wouldn't say change.
It depends on how big you are.
It depends a lot on the contract and all that stuff. It used to be the only way to make money really was the tour, because what you were making per record sold was very, very little.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now large artists can, you know, depending on their distribution deal and stuff like that, can be pulling in a much larger percentage of every song sold or every record sold.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's the whole digital thing has actually made artists, I think, able to control their music a lot more. But, you know, there is a downside to, on the consumer side, you're like, the download doesn't cost actually anything except for maybe, you know, somewhere on a server I have it sitting there that.
I mean, there are marketing costs involved, you know, getting the word out about the book or the song or the movie. But still, I having that physical copy, that hard copy, is going to cost the production company more to distribute than the digital book.
Mm-hmm. Well, like with my Xbox, I mean, I can download full versions of video games, you know, right onto my Xbox and play them right off that. But they charge just as much as what it cost me on the store shelf.
Right.
So why would I even want to do that? Because take you forever to download.
You have too much hard drive space.
Yeah. Not on an Xbox.
No.
And you can't transport it. This is the thing. I was an early ebook buyer in the Microsoft format several years ago, and I've now had to go back and rebuy all of those books because I don't have the device anymore.
Or they put DRM on it. And it's like
you can't move it from one device to another.
Well, and that's what people are really within the last 2 months. The whole Kindle hacking thing has grown so much. The DRM was broken on Kindle not too long ago. Now they're working out ways where you can swap between. You can basically break a Kindle file and play it on any reader that you want. It's not as easy as just saying, okay, I want to plug in a USB cable and do that. There's you have to really want to do it, but it can be done now without the additional charge and stuff like that. And then you're going to end up with, you know, torrent sites that are where you just go and you download your books and you throw them on your Kindle or whatever. But so
they're already on there.
Oh, I know.
Text files and stuff.
But the, you know, piracy of all that content is just going to keep increasing as it until it's not worthwhile anymore.
Also, I can't bring a big stack of downloads into the store and go, here, buy these off of me and I'll buy a new download or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I like to be able to do that with my games and everything.
Yeah,
so.
You trade a lot of games.
But to argue the other side of that for a while, and again, Tim, you'd know this, is as that value of whatever your art is approaches zero, the value of doing it and the difficulty of doing it increases so that it's not, you know, that's not worth it. Ask an editorial writer how easy it's been to make a living writing opinions since the blogosphere started.
Right.
Well, and that's that kind of ebb and flow. I mean, there's a positive and a negative to everything, and both sides find a way. One side finds a way to make more money doing it, and then that takes off, and whatever that happens to be. And then, conversely, somebody finds a way to fight that and make things cheaper for the consumer. And they're all, it's that tug of war that probably will never, ever go away. Somebody's going to win, but then eventually they're going to lose a little bit.
Dennis, in radio, I know KCCK is public radio, or is it a commercial station?
No, it's public radio.
It's public radio. It's not Iowa Public Radio.
Right.
It's how does KCCK work?
Well, we're a public radio station, so that means that we're licensed by the FCC to have an educational or a cultural mission. You know, just like public, for many people, if not most people, public radio equals NPR and Car Talk.
Right. Right.
Well, there are public radio stations that don't do that, and right. we're one of them. And so we get our funding from, you know, a variety of different areas.
So is it like, what would you consider like a nonprofit? Is that
yes.
kind of?
Yeah, we are organized
like
more or less. Yeah, we are. We are. Yeah. Yeah, we think of it. Yeah, that's what we think of. Matter of fact, the example I use is the symphony. You know, the symphony's product is music.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In the same way that our product is music. Mm-hmm. It's just that they perform theirs live in an auditorium. We put ours out over the air. And of course, you know, we're a jazz station, and we get a little bit of money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, like most mm-hmm. Public radio stations do. Kirkwood is really good in supporting us, and I shout out to the trustees and Mick Starcevich, the president of Kirkwood, in an era where the universities are trying to figure out ways to get rid of their public radio stations and spin them off. At Kirkwood, they still think having a public radio station is a good thing.
Oh yeah.
So that's obviously great for us. And the rest of it, just like any nonprofit, you know, we ask people for it. We say, you know, if you like having a jazz radio station in your community, you know, you're going to have to write us a check a couple of times a year so that we can pay the bills.
Right.
And people do it.
That's
Which,
awesome.
Talking about because it's free.
Right.
You know, it's free.
Right.
And so
I would love
really
it if people
to
responded to you guys like having a podcast. The Can-Man show, and you know all the
we're gonna have a
hosting
we're
services,
have a semi-annual
pledge drive
yeah. for the Can-Man show,
and you know
you're gonna drive all you're gonna drive all of your listeners away, hold a pledge drive,
yeah,
you Chad know, will it, become progressively it, more it, and more it, naked.
It
on
cost
the
me
air
about $200 a year to do the show.
So now that podcasts are really mainstream, does that make fundraising harder these days?
Well, what it is there are just so many more choices now if you to consume any kind of media. I mean, even me,
mm-hmm.
I work in radio, but I have a half dozen podcasts. This is one of them that I try and listen to every week. Well, that's got to come out of some time, and it's in the car, so it tends to come out of, come out of my radio listening time. I'll tell you what I think the future is. I think podcasts are the future, or on-demand listening is the future. I think that I think that there'll come a time when a radio station like mine, whatever's on the air, will just be a collection of things that you can download and listen to on demand, and the air signal will be used to either A, give you something to listen to when you can't download your favorite show, or to expose you to things that you haven't heard yet.
Right.
And that if you like something, you'll think, well, that's kind of cool. I'm going to hear the whole thing. So then you go to the website and you'll download it. The downside is right now that there's no licensing mechanism for that. If I wanted to put like one of our music shows on a podcast, it's like the Bob Stewart Show, say in the midday, or a Craig Kessler's Weekend Show, or Doug Jackson's Smooth Brunch.
Yeah.
For every song that would be played on that podcast, we would have to negotiate three separate licenses with three separate organizations.
ASCAP.
Right. ASCAP, RIA, and there's one other,
too. The
one
that starts with an M, I think.
Yeah. For every song. And until they solve that, there's just no way.
The beauty of podcasting, and thank God for websites like Mevio, Podsafe Music. You can find artists, and I'm lucky to know quite a few, but I play just a couple. Lucky to know quite a few that are very talented, that have their own stuff, that own the rights to the stuff that is theirs and allow me to use it. Like Tim, like Janelle. They let me play their stuff without having to pay into ASCAP or RIA. If I had to pay those fees every month or every year, there's no way I could do this.
It would be a music-free podcast.
It would be, definitely.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Well,
Oh, and so, speaking of music from local artists, can I do
a
plug?
Yeah, plug it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite project that I'm working on right now is when KCCK started doing HD radio which has now been a couple of years ago, just like HDTV, it lets us divide our signal off into different parts. So like on channel 9, you have channel 9.1, and it does something else. Well, we have, actually, we have three streams going. One of them is the National Weather Service. And the other one...
Come in handy right now.
Yeah. And the other one is a project that we call the Iowa Channel. And it is only Iowa artists. And it's running right now. You got to have an HD radio to listen to it. You could listen to it on your Zune.
I could listen to my Zune HD. In fact, I have listened to it a little bit, and I've heard a little bit of Janelle, a little bit of Gerard, a little bit of... I haven't heard you on there yet.
Not yet. Nope.
Nothing about it.
Nope. You got to get me a CD.
I'll see what I can do.
Because you have some. I understand you have some. Yeah. But it's also streaming. So you can listen to it online at iowachannel.org. And
iowachannel.org.
That's where you can access it. And we will have our own iPhone app in a couple
of
weeks.
That's awesome. Do you have somebody making it for you?
I just sent off the graphics to the people who are making it for us next week. So it's
cool.
But it is, it's just, Janelle's on there, Gerard's on there. Betsy Hickok, if you like Orquesta Alta Maíz or Public Property. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of jazz on there because I know all the jazz guys, but there's a lot of other stuff on there too. The Nadas. The Nadas out of Des Moines are on there.
Maximilian Eubank. He's out of Des Moines.
Max Eubank.
You got to get his CD.
I've heard him on this show.
He's a good guy. He defeated me at Daniel Arthur's in the Acoustic Idol contest, but he was awesome.
You've got to get his stuff.
We have a lot of folk singer-songwriter kind of stuff on there too. So it's musically, it's a train wreck because you never know. I mean, you'll literally go from a big band swing tune with Rod Pearson Orchestra into reggae.
Yeah,
but
I like it because I like
the randomness of that kind of stuff. You know, you talk about how technology has changed the way that we listen to music. It used to be if I'm a fan of rock music, I'm going to find the local rock station.
Yep.
Now, if I think I want to build a radio station around a beer bottle, if I want to build a radio
station in the key of G,
around. A particular artist or something, I can go into Pandora or whatever, and I can just type in an artist's name, and hey, I'm probably going to get some things thrown out there that I probably don't like, but there'll probably be a whole lot more stuff that I really do like that I've never heard before.
Pandora is one resource I use a lot if I'm trying to find, I plug in there the artists that I like, and it'll find all these other people. I found so many artists from there that I'd never even considered listening to, and... I went out and bought their CD after listening to it.
And that's one of those things, compared to how it used to be, where your options are fairly limited to whatever you could tune in with your radio. Now you have the entire world out there and more ways to access it than you can count. And it really changes the way that we think about music and having access to music. If I want to know about something, it's not a problem for me to maybe pull out my phone and listen to music by something that somebody says, whereas it used to be there was research and you had to, maybe play a record or have somebody, transfer it to cassette tape or something for you. Now it's easy.
Several years ago, you've been in radio a long time.
A long time.
And in the area a long time. You were at KQCR for a little bit, weren't you?
Yes, I was. You are older than you look.
Back in the Bill Clymer days before Robbie and
yeah. Yeah. Well,
when it
was Q103.
Yeah.
That was my first full-time job out of college.
Really? Wow. So it was Gary Dixon was on in the morning.
Yep.
And you were what? Middays or
I did afternoons.
Afternoons.
And speaking of Gary Dixon, I connected with him on Facebook not all that long ago.
Wow.
He's alive and well, living in Orlando for anybody who remembers the Gary and Todd show way back when.
Oh yeah. And didn't Todd open up
opened up the Irish Democrat do you know what Todd's doing now?
No.
Todd owns that Mystery Cat bookstore.
Todd Meyer?
Yes, which is right behind the Irish Democrat. Great used and collectible bookstore.
I actually...
What's the name of it?
Mystery Cat.
It's over there by Zoe's, isn't it?
Right
by Flowerama.
Flowerama.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Right behind Flowerama.
I don't go by Flowerama down that street right there.
I apparently don't pay attention
I saw it when we went... We had that...
The reunion.
Reunion there,
the
yeah.
Monty reunion.
Reunion. Yeah, we had the reunion at the Democrat. I saw the place, but I didn't, put two and two together. So.
Huh.
But
my wife actually went there. She really liked it.
Did she?
Yeah.
The Mystery Cat? Cool.
Mystery Cat.
Yeah, it's a great store.
It had,
you know,
cat
once,
in the name,
kind
so
of
it had cat
in
she
the
had
name,
to go.
So, you know, a lot of, you know, a lot of collectible, mainly mysteries, but not all mysteries. He just had Ed Gorman there for a signing. Ed is, of course, the great mystery writer who lives in Cedar Rapids.
Oh,
best
wow.
friend with Dean Koontz. You
oh,
know,
wow.
one of the great undiscovered.
Ed Gorman?
Ed Gorman, yeah.
Ed Gorman.
Put that in the show notes so I can
go
back and check
Ed
it out
Gorman.
Later.
I will.
Yeah, he's written a series of detective novels set in a small Iowa town in the early 60s.
That's cool. And then
modeled loosely on Cedar Rapids.
You'd almost expect that sort of a place in, like, Iowa City
yeah.
or something, not in Cedar Rapids.
Now, did Carla Davis take over for you, or did you take over for Carla?
You know, Carla and I never worked together directly. She always ended up, she was always behind me. She got to WMT, I don't know, a couple of years after I left.
Yeah. I grew up with some friends that worked at Q103, and I did kind of like a little internship there. But it was Matt Ridout, who was Magic Matt McGuire, who was probably there after your time. When he would do his show, Carla Davis, you know, Carla would just be getting off the air, and we would just crack up because she'd always say, Carla Davis plays the biggest hits. And it was just, you know, became an entendre. And
yeah, you got to be careful how you
get it.
Diction.
Careful.
Diction
yeah.
is
Diction.
So important.
Yes, very
Diction.
Much. Yes.
Tip
and
of the tongue.
We would just crack up, you know. But it's cool to see her at the Colonel's games. You know, she has no idea who I am, but. You know, back then, that's when I interned there a long time ago, but didn't really get to know you then.
No, not till later.
No, it was like 15
Alas.
Years old.
Ships that pass in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Sliding cool. doors.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of radio stations in town. And after they were KQCR, they went KMAX.
Yep,
which that, lasted that, about that, a week.
Yeah, about that.
Maybe two. That was a mistake. After that, they kind of like, wait, we need to go back to that format because we were actually selling commercials.
It's Which... always funny when radio stations change their formats. There was a WKDF in Nashville when I was going to school in Kentucky was the local rock station. That was what we all listened to. And then one year, just prior to April Fool's Day, they said they were going to have a programming change and they were going to change to a country music station. And it was going to take place on April Fool's Day. And everyone thought that this has got to be a joke. April 1st rolls around. At noon, the programming changed to country music. And we thought,
wait a
okay.
Funny.
You know, we were like,
yeah.
ha-ha, that's brilliant. A week later, it was like, is this for real?
Wow.
And sure enough, and they changed to a country music station. And it stayed that way. But... You know, they advertised it, and they kept saying, this is not a joke, and everybody's like, yeah, okay.
Wait, country music
April
in Nashville?
1st. Hey, I know, there's no shortage of country stations, and I like country music, don't get me wrong, but it was...
Yeah, but if you're hungry for some rock, you don't
yeah,
want to
I
hear...
Yeah, I mean, when I want my AC/DC, I don't want my Merle Haggard.
So are there any big jazz, blues concerts coming up?
We're just kind of doing the final negotiations for the Iowa City Jazz Festival.
Very cool.
Which is going to feature a couple of really good national headliners and a bunch of local and regional acts. Actually, Chick Corea, the great jazz pianist, is coming to the Englert in April.
Awesome.
And that will be solo piano. You know, Chick Corea on a 9-foot performance grand.
Wow.
That's going to, you ought to go to YouTube and check out a few of Chick Corea's. Solo piano numbers that he's got posted there. They are just awesome.
Hmm. Did you get to check out Jeff Coffin when he was in town?
Oh, yeah. Jeff stopped by the station.
Oh, he did.
Did you go?
Because
your son's in the Washington band.
He's in the jazz band.
Yeah.
And he got to play with him. And Jeff Coffin, for the people that aren't listening, is the current sax player for Dave Matthews Band.
Did you say it for the people who aren't listening?
I know.
Listening?
I was going to let it go. For those of you who are not listening right now.
We're going to talk really, really loud.
Here, let me go. The people who don't know who he is.
There
that's
you go.
A better way to put it. Yeah. Thanks, Corey.
I couldn't. For the people who aren't listening, why do you have it playing?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
I got to slow down on the beer here. but anyway, he's the current sax player for
Dave. He was on the Grammys. He was on the Grammys last week.
Really, really talented dude. Wow. And he played at Wash. We watched him play with all the jazz bands and the co-jazz band. And then his Mutet is...
Which is his group that he leads, his jazz group that he leads.
They are amazing. And the fact that they go around... on an education tour. Did they just hit Wash, or did they hit all
they
the
They were supposed to hit Wash and West, but he was not. He was a little under the weather, so he ended up not going down to West.
Wow. He was amazing. Amazing. And he was such a down-to-earth. I mean, his whole band, down-to-earth, really cool guys. Just amazing. And he plays, with Victor Wooten. You know, one of the best bass players in the world.
There you go for Bela Fleck.
Bela Fleck, yeah. He's a sax player in Bela Fleck.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
That was his main gig.
I have a VHS copy of Bela Fleck and the Flecktones playing at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and Victor Wooten just goes absolutely nuts with his bass guitar, spinning it around his neck, and just, you know...
I think one of my favorites.
It's amazing that he can even play the instrument because it's like he's not even near it.
You know, and Victor Wooten was in Iowa City just a couple of months ago.
Really?
I think I heard that after the fact.
Yeah, we were aware of it. I couldn't get there.
A lot of shows or a lot of artists that come to town that I have no idea are even in town.
You gotta really watch for it. And
it's interesting. You're not going to hear it on all of the big radio stations, yeah. You know, because they're not coming through the cell center. There's a lot of shows, a lot of really interesting shows that come through the small venues.
They don't get enough publicity. And I would love to hear more about stuff like that. You know, what's happening. I think when with the blues shows, what's your show, Bob's?
Oh, the Blues with Bobby D.
Yeah. The Blues. Usually has Bluesmore. You guys still do that?
Yep.
I got to see Susan Tedeschi, who's now getting a really big name out. I mean, she's really getting to be a well-known name. I got to see her before she was huge. Duke Tomato and the Power Trio. Got to see those guys several times before they were on Bob and Tom, you know, because they're like the house band now for Bob and Tom for the most part. I know, just really cool.
Well, and there is a lot of interesting music that comes through the area. Back in December, I saw the Works Progress Administration at CSPS, which, you know, I was interested in it because Glenn Phillips was the lead songwriter, singer for Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a band with Luke Bulla from Lyle Lovett's band, and I'm blanking on the guy's name, from Nickel Creek, but they put together this band, and they played at CSPS, and it was a brilliant show that there was almost
four
no advertising
there.
For,
yeah.
Because, you know, Legion Arts doesn't get, you know, the
well, they're a non-profit.
Name advertising,
yeah.
And...
Well,
speaking of Legion Arts, speaking of CSPS, Buckwheat Zydeco.
Wow.
Coming in the next week or two.
Yep, yeah. And so I'll go ahead and plug that real quick, legionarts.org. Go take a look at the website, take a look at the calendar, see what's coming up. The brilliant shows there, a lot of interesting programming stuff. So.
Kevin, what are you playing this week? Anything?
Mass Effect 2.
Sit up there a little bit. Mass Effect 2?
Sorry, sir.
That's all right. I just know.
Oh, and just let me say,
yeah.
The Star Wars gay porn minute.
Yeah.
I would so listen to that.
Okay, the Star Wars game for a minute.
That was kind of out of the blue.
Like, I can't get out of here without mentioning that, guys.
Thanks.
Had an effect, I guess.
So Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect
2. Still playing 2. It.
Yep, it came out about a week ago.
Yeah.
And I think I've sunk about 10 hours into it so far.
Yeah.
And
I wish I had 10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours at night, I steal my sleep so I can actually play the game. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you like Star Wars or just a really interesting, space story, it's pretty good. It's almost like...
is that the one they've had the commercials for?
Yeah, the commercials are awesome.
Yeah. It's like the Dirty Dozen in space, where you're creating this team to go on a suicide mission, and...
Lee Marvin leads it?
No, it's just
I'm trying to think if there's a Lee Marvin
younger,
character
more
in the
digital
game.
Lee Marvin.
No, I don't think right. so. Or it could have been Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
They could have made it more like that.
Yeah.
But, no, it's kind of interesting. I there's so many little details to games anymore because they're so advanced. Like when you go into your captain's chamber, you can actually... buy ship models, you know, just like the, you know, Star Trek, and you can buy fish for your aquarium. And yesterday, I actually found a space hamster.
A space hamster?
Not just a regular hamster.
Also called a spamster.
Space hamster. So,
a spamster?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So if during missions, if you don't feed your fish or your hamster, they die. Seriously.
Wow.
That's
so many
take time
details.
Off from saving the universe
kidding.
Here to
it's
feed
like,
my
like,
fish.
That is like, awesome.
I know. I would sacrifice so many spamsters.
I was trying to save the frickin' universe, and then my hamster died. So.
Sorry, guys.
Who do I pay to feed my hamster on this ship?
Don't you have a first officer? Yeah. Maybe
I have an
Joker
administrative
to do
assistant.
It?
Actually, you have an administrative assistant. If you walk by her, she'll like tell you what you need to do. Yeah, feed my hamster.
That's awesome.
You work.
You're on
me.
Hamster duty while I'm going, you know, saving the universe. But yeah, if you got like 34 hours, you want to sink, this is definitely the game for it. So I'll probably be playing it for about a month.
Wow.
I figure so.
So it's as big as the.
It's like Dragon Age,
really,
but the space version. It's from the same company. Actually.
Oh really?
So.
Eidos?
No, BioWare.
BioWare. Okay.
Yeah, the same people that made Baldur's Gate, if you
Aren't
can remember
the
back
that
far.
Did the BioWare? Didn't they do the one Space Marine one? Oh, what the heck is it called? Not Halo.
You're gonna say Doom, aren't you?
No, not Doom.
Get out!
No,
of
it's
my
a newer one.
Star Wars.
It's a newer game.
Come on.
No.
Star
Wars.
I don't
know what you're
name,
talking.
About.
Oh, you know, one thing I gotta plug. The end of February, one of the hockey game.
Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah,
Star Wars night.
The Rough Riders night. Star Wars, the 501st is going to be there. When I say the 501st, Ryan Schoenhardt would explain that they are the dudes that dress up in the Star Wars armor. So there'll be people dressed as Darth Vader, Stormtroopers, TIE Fighter pilots.
When is this?
Imperial Guards. And they are awesome, the most awesome costumes ever. And there's a whole group
they're
of Mandalorians.
Well, the 501st is sanctioned.
Yeah, they're sanctioned.
Yeah. When is this?
I think it's the end of February.
It'll be the 27th, I think, is what
Ryan
told me.
Might have to see about taking my kids to that. They're going to kick out of that.
Ryan is going to take the triple mic, and he's going to get some interviews with said 501st members. Maybe the Candyman, who I got to meet on New Year's Eve. And a few of the other guys there. So I think that'll be pretty cool. And I'm going to try and make it. So
I didn't know they're from around this area.
A lot of them are.
Yeah.
But they're all over the United States, really. So it's cool. They get to go and
dress up in Star Wars.
This will be the Civil War reenactors of the next two decades.
I know.
Yeah, except everyone's stormtroopers. You don't see that many Rebel Alliance guys.
That's because stormtroopers have awesome costumes.
It's a much harder costume to make.
Yeah.
The stormtrooper? Yeah.
No, the Rebel Alliance one.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I
make sure to bring your camera.
Yeah, bring your camera. If I'm lucky, maybe I'll bring my video camera and record some stuff.
Take a look at the date on that and see exactly when that is. Maybe try and plant something.
There you go. So that's the 27th of February.
Do they got one of them that actually skates?
I think they all go out there and skate.
I think one of them skates. So yeah, exactly.
I think they actually play one period of hockey in place of the goalie. They wear the stormtrooper armor.
They wouldn't last. They wouldn't last 43
that would
seconds
the,
on
that
the
would
ice.
Be the most awesome period of hockey ever.
So anything else that we got to plug, guys?
One thing I want to—we kind of touched on it earlier—the Variety Telethon. People go ahead and put it in the back of their minds. I believe March 13th, I think, is the day that when that's airing on KWWL.
So it'll be on. See, I didn't know the channel was going to be
it'll,
on.
Yeah, it'll be KWWL. I think March 13th, and Connie will kill me if I screwed that up, but.
Yeah, and she listens. So.
Oh yeah, I'll make sure that I issue a correction if I didn't get that right. But,
there you go.
The Variety Children's Charity Telethon coming up in March. Kind of keep that in the back of your mind. It's a good cause. So.
Yeah, it is a good cause. So, anything else you need to plug, Dennis, Corey?
No? I got nothing.
Got nothing?
I have zero activities. Nobody likes me.
So I'm gonna play this song for you. That's by Timmy.
For
obviously.
You, for me?
Yeah, yeah. So,
Timmy
but the,
for Timmy?
But the
Who's
song,
on first?
The
it's
song,
by me for me.
Okay.
The song is titled For You.
He was looking right? at his lap when he said it. I'm going to play this for you.
Right, no, but the title of the
Pay
song is called
buddy.
For You. What's it about? What were you thinking when you wrote this song? Do you recall?
Oh, I know. That's one of those songs that has been around for a really long time. It was... Most of my songs up to that point had been horribly depressing, because I was, college dropout, angst-ridden, early 20s, And then I decided, hey, I'm going to write something that's kind of happy. And that's where this one came out of. So
cool. Well, I like it. And I think you will, too. So thanks so much for listening to episode 73. Enjoy Timmy's song for you.
Till the tank's reading empty, and then I start walking until my shoes worn through to my blistered feet. Then I'll steal an airplane. I keep flying though I realize I'm crashing for you. I'm crashing down for you. And rob a bank, cause I ain't got no money. And that'll make my getaway. I'm gonna go until the cab has called it a day. Across the desert, dry and burning. It's the middle of the night. Stumble down to the shoreline and dive into the ocean. And keep swimming, though I realize I'm drowning. I'm not singing, but I'm still drowning. No matter how high you go, I'll never be that far below. Ain't nothing that I wouldn't do to spend one more minute with you. Ain't nothing that I wouldn't say. Anyone who tries to stand in my way, the price of a lie is one I'm willing to pay. Now you're laying here beside me. I'm bruised and battered, but I still got the breath to speak. I whisper to you, listen closely. I may not get another chance, so I choose my words carefully. Run my fingers through your dark hair. Take a deep breath and say the only thing that's got me scared. I want you more than anything. Please catch me, cause I'm endlessly falling. Down for you. Can't stop falling, can't stop. I'm falling down for you.
Thank you again for listening to The Can Man Show. Please check out our website at www.thecanmanshow.com.
I can try. Let's see. I love the Can Man Show. I love the Can Man. Don't you know? Download it on iTunes. That'd be sweet. We need some traffic. I can't.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Wouldn't that be neat? There we go.
Bacock!
Oh, baby. You know what I want to do to you?